even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome along to Bonus
Yeah.
Starring Alice Sneden.
And Rose Matafeo. Oh my God. How are you this morning?
Morning? So fine.
Great. Better than yesterday?
No, I reckon no change, to be fair. Like, I feel like mostly the same. I feel like I went for a lovely big walk yesterday, which was nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was good. It's good to get out of the house. For international listeners, New Zealand had the announcement yesterday that we're going to stay in lockdown for another week, and then we're going to go to slightly less restricted lockdown for a couple of weeks, and then see where we're at.
Not for us, though, really.
No, it's pretty much business as usual for us.
But I guess we can online shop now, which, thank God, because yeah. How am I
going to
live
online shopping.
Without... Oh, you have been online shopping. Okay, cool. Yeah, you're addicted. Yeah. You're addicted.
I'm fucking addicted, man. I'm buying shit left, right, and centre.
What are you buying?
Oh, my God. Just like, I bought a polar fleece.
Fuck. Oh, yeah, you did, eh? You got jealous of Guy Montgomery's polar fleece. Oh, my God. This is too much. You should need to stop.
I know.
This is bad.
I know. It's like maybe one of my... Yesterday I brought like a
Rose,
little
I've been a fucking like
linen.
Mending old clothes that I've found from my past. Like a fucking... Pioneer woman.
I know. Yesterday I brought like a little linen nighty.
Oh my God. I guess we all have to get through the way we need to get through.
Oh, I always
linen
do
nighty?
This,
I've got a cotton nighty I love to death.
Whenever I'm in any emotional distress, I buy stuff.
Yeah. Like,
which is terrible because it's often I don't have the cash to do it. I just do it, you know, I just make it happen. And then
yeah,
I regret
so weird
it later.
Because you're so financially literate. But then you're financially literate but fiscally irresponsible. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's not to be a diss.
No. It is.
Well, yeah, it is. But,
yeah. Yes, I would agree with that to a certain degree. I've never gotten myself in like terrible harm, but I absolutely could have over the last few years saved much more money than what I have.
Also, I want to say that I'm financially illiterate and fiscally irresponsible, just to be clear. Like, I'm even worse. I don't know why I'm fucking up. At least you know why that you're being...
Okay, the worst purchase I've made on lockdown.
What's the worst purchase you've made on lockdown?
A cardboard standing desk that cost me $300.
My God, yes. And like I remember when you told me that you bought it, and I was just like, "Cool, okay."
I don't know why the fuck I did it. Honestly, I'm never gonna fucking use it.
You described it. Also, you described the purchase with such clear, like such clarity, such like resolve, such like confidence in your purchase that you're like, "Yeah, yeah, I've just bought like a folding cardboard standing desk, yeah, for $300."
Oh my god. Fuck, I'm so devo at the fact that I did that. Truly devo. God.
Well, have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it. I set it up. I set it up in my sister's house, and then the next day she had to go into ISO. So yeah. I haven't really had a hood on it since. I've just been sitting at my parents'. Okay, so I got two things from them. I got the cardboard standing desk with the waterproof top.
Yeah, obviously when you're working outside, you got some spills on the desk from your coffee, obviously, morning coffee, when you're standing at your cardboard desk in your fucking house.
And, And I also got a, fucking hell, a laptop stand, which I've actually been using all day, every day, and it's been great. But so I got it because I was like getting a sore neck.
Yeah, but can I just point out the laptop stand was probably like what, 40 bucks?
30 bucks.
Yeah, 30 bucks.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. So that was like, that was a good purchase. Yeah. And then I took some
purchase for $300. You needed, it was necessary to buy the $300 desk in order to kind of get the free gift of like, the essentially free gift of the laptop stand, which was $30.
No. On Instagram one night, I saw the laptop stand and I thought, that's a bit of me. And I bought that, made that purchase. Then right. I got advertised it again, and I thought, oh, let's check out their other products.
That's, oh my god!
So I've done this before. Thing? I booked flights to the UK. Don't you remember I did that at like the beginning of last year? Where
but you needed to go, right?
I had a flight. Did I have a flight booked? I basically made a snap decision. I had a fight with someone and I was upset, and then I just booked a ticket to get out of the country. I left like a week later.
Pretty cool and dramatic, though.
Very cool and dramatic, but also self-destructive.
Yeah, but you know, still cool and dramatic.
Yeah.
What's the craziest purchase I've made? I ordered some sports bras from Kmart. That's essentially it.
Yeah. Fuck, you're so good, eh?
I'm in a house, you know, that has everything. Like my nan, it's so funny. She's so amazing. Like she was just like, I've got this little desk kind of like area set up in the lounge, and you know, and then she will come in with these like, she's like set up some like kind of fairy lights around one of the plants, and then she'll like walk in, she'll be like, do you like these? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, yeah. I've got these up in Whangamata. And I was like, yeah, okay. And she's like, yeah, yeah, some of the lights aren't working. Oh, maybe I should change the batteries. I'll change the batteries. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I mean, I just like those green lights are great. She's like, okay. And then she'll she's the best person ever. She I'll mention that, like, I need just shoes to, basically I need to walk across the yard to get to the shed where I'm working at the moment, my ditter's shed. And, I just remarked that like she, like, you know, I needed shoes to get, you know, some slippers to get there. And I've come back from riding in the morning. She's like laid out two pairs of like three options of slippers. She's like,
well, you can, my God.
Any of those options of slippers you want? She's got everything. It's amazing. She brought out like three cast iron skillets the other day. She was like, oh, should we season these? Let's cook these. Like it's amazing.
Nice.
I went through the deep freeze with her. Oh my God. It's so funny what she's got. She's got like mints with like packaging that like is so like is from the mid 2000s. She's got everything in there. She's got venison. She's got Wiener schnitzel. She's got like, it's amazing. It's just, she's got a whole beef brisket.
Fucking hell. That's so nice.
I don't know. Yeah. She's a real organized hoarder and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. That's great. That's what you want. Yeah. I don't, like, just to clarify, like, I don't need any of the things I'm buying. Like, it's not because I, and I think this has only recently developed. Well, it's probably started as I started earning more money. Because when I was broke, it wasn't an option, was it? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the issue. This was, like, something I never knew would be a problem for me. I guess that's a brag.
Yeah, I'm glad you stewed on that for about 3 minutes while I was telling my story and then still came out of it unhappy with the person that you've kind of projected there. No, I think it's...
Don't get me wrong, I loved your story about your nan being an organised hoarder.
Just to clarify, I just want to quickly... No, I do that all the time. I zone out thinking about how I'm representing myself on the podcast and then trying to right the wrong.
There is not a single thing I have said on this podcast that I do not regret for one reason or another.
Absolutely. No, I think it's not like it's, you know, you're part of a culture that, encourages it.
Yeah, definitely I am.
Covetedness. Oh my God, I sound like my dad. I literally just said covetedness or whatever.
No. You do sound like your dad.
Yeah.
But like, you're right, and that I capitalism is the disease, and I am the symptom.
Aren't you the sufferer?
Nah, absolutely not. Probably. Yeah, no, you're right. That's a better way of putting it. But I'm really going to stamp down on my spending.
No, actually,
now.
Sorry. The sufferer is actually the people like making the goods and not getting money. I guess
true.
The sufferers.
Yes, they are.
You're the proponent. You're the.
I'm the person who's forcing capitalism down people's throats. Basically, yeah. I'm the force sure. feeder. Yeah,
true that. I'm just
capitalism is foie gras, and I'm force feeding it.
I've been thinking about how many flights. I mean, I was actually thinking about global warming the other day because I was bored of.
All right, go off.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, you know, let's not focus on Corona at the moment. No, I was just thinking about how guilty I feel about all of the flights I've taken. But we've talked
same.
About this before.
God, yeah. Same. I'm not going to travel in the same way anymore. I just can't. Mm. I just can't go back to fucking those habits. I don't know. Maybe I can. Who knows?
But you... wow. Incredible.
I don't want to make any big declarations while I'm under duress, you know?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely not. You'd hate to do that. This is not a good time to make massive life decisions. That's very true.
No, God,
my friend reminded me of that because I was like to her, you know, I was talking to Emma and I was just like, maybe I'll just move home. Maybe I'll just move back to New Zealand. And she was just like, I really don't think you should be making massive life decisions amidst a global pandemic. But it's annoying because we're kind of forced to, but then also we're forced to make massive decisions, but given no confidence in our ability or like reasoning to do so. Or like,
and
you know, like
what do you mean by that?
Like we've been forced into making massive decisions, aka, you know, coming back straight back to New Zealand, or like, you know, mm-hmm. what are you going to do with your life? You mm-hmm. know, what does this all mean? But we've also been put in an emotional state of shock and grief globally that renders our ability to make clear-headed decisions shaky and you know, unstable. Like, so sure. We're all like gone, we've all gone like a little bit loopy.
Yes.
And then also forced to make like decisions under those circumstances, which are just heightened emotions and, you know, we're all freaking
out. I think that's true. I do think if you can avoid making big life decisions now, then that's absolutely what you should be doing, is avoiding making those big decisions. But I will say this, that whilst everyone is kind of in a panicky state, there's also something extremely clarifying about a crisis. Mm. Don't you think? Like, it brings into focus those big decisions and like the elements of those big decisions that you would otherwise be avoiding.
I think like, immediate limitation of options is always going to be clarifying though.
Yeah. And also my anxiety is like weirdly reduced. A little bit, like, because like it's reduced.
I think a lot of people are enjoying experiencing that.
Like it's heightened in some respects. Like I feel like, I don't feel like anxiety day to day. I mean, more like I'm anxious to see people and to like, you know, get back to the things I loved about how life was before. But it's anxiety reducing in the sense of like, you know, especially this year, I was going back and forth so much about what I was supposed to be doing and which country I was supposed to be at and, like, you know, should I be doing festivals or comedy show, like, all of that sort of shit that now when I look at it in retrospect, I'm like, none of that matters. And the fact that I'm not even in a realm where I have to approach that stuff makes me feel...
I think none of it matters.
I feel bad for saying it, but good.
No, but don't... I think it would be a... mistake to say none of it matters. I think saying none of it matters at this point in time, given
yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not saying because, that there's like no meaning to anything, though I do believe that. But like, I mean more that like in the like scope of my life, like in the realm of the things that are truly important to me, that is one of them, but it is lower than health or, you know, like all those other things that kind of come, I don't know, for me it's put some perspective on some decisions, and I would hope that going forward I would be able to apply that perspective again.
I will absolutely assure you that you will not. You will very much forget immediately once your circumstances and the framework of those anxieties change. It's just, you know, it's like, you know.
Yeah. I'll listen back to this episode, you know.
You won't listen back to this episode.
I won't.
As if.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I think that's true. But I think it goes back to, like, I think we've already talked about this, of like, because we were in a position where we lived in like a world of globalization, international air travel, endless abundance of goods, you know, to the cost of many people, you know, aka,
yeah,
rock on capitalism, all that shit. We love it. Obviously, we love it. And standing cardboard desk. But because the whole massive anxiety within the generation that we exist in was, what do we do with our lives? We feel a pressure to do so much with it. And because the options are endless, it's like, you know, choice paralysis, etc., all of that. So then to find yourself in a position where, again, your options are limited and there are only a certain amount of paths that you can be taking, and your priorities become more basic, like health and security, and all that stuff, and family and that. There is a certain, like, not, it's not like lack of anxiety or calm, but it's like, you're like, oh, okay, I have less options now, so I can just focus on what's in control, like I'm in control of. I don't know. It's a very bizarre type of calm that is like actually rooted in like something being taken away from you, but to have the choice, like, I don't know. Maybe it's an incredibly, it's an incredibly privileged thing to say.
Oh, but absolutely. I mean, options are a privilege in and of themselves.
Absolutely. But then, every think piece pre-coronavirus, which is all millennials basically complaining about burnout and all that shit.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, that's because of all of the options we have, all of those expectations because of the options that you have. Because I think with those options, you have expectations on what you should be doing as well. So I think the expectations to do shit and be like, you know, ambitious are like gone now, which are like, fine.
You hate that. Mm. I kind of think I love it. Like the prospect of, I'm not sure, it might be because I took such a hard turn when I finished uni from the thing that I had been like building up to, that I felt then I've kind of done uni all over again by trying to do like, well, not uni, but like trying to do comedy and make that work and prove that it was the right decision for like the last 5 or 6 years or whatever, that I've been living in that. And now I just feel like, I don't know, it's less important to me. Not that comedy isn't important. It can be, but my anxiety around whether or not I was doing enough and whether or not I was successful enough at it has dissipated a bit.
Mm.
Who knows how long it'll last or if it's for good or bad. I don't know. But honestly, I just want to get fucking married and have kids and like raise them and like write scripts and live like a nice life where I go to the fucking beach and like people don't complain about me because generally I'm not an asshole. Like that's kind of like my dream at this stage.
Well, this stage, it's been your dream like forever. It's crazy.
No, I don't think I've always wanted kids. I think I got so wrapped up in like career stuff that I was like, no, 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 no. And that changed over the last year, for sure.
Wait, say that last thing again.
Wanting kids changed over the last year.
Right, yeah.
Big yeah, time.
I to and fro, to be fair, because I'm like, I don't know.
I was a hard no.
And, yeah, and everyone says that as soon as you turn 30, you know, something happens.
I don't know if it's biological like that.
No, like social.
Not even then. I think it was, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but I think it was circumstantial. But that's as much as I'll say.
Wow. Very coy of you.
No, I don't know. I just it's embarrassing to say, you know, but like,
okay. Yeah, no, and I would agree it's embarrassing to say. I don't know what it is, but I assume it is. I watched a scary, oh my God, I couldn't get to sleep last night. I can't watch scary things. I watched House.
I don't know why you would watch anything Hill House. Scary. It's like, know yourself, you
because,
know?
No, because I was like, fuck, maybe that's what I need to feel alive something. During like oh yeah God. I want to feel something, and if it's deeply terrified then maybe that's cool. Like,
and what was the result?
Not very good. Like it was this Netflix show, Haunting on at Hill House, which is a really good show, but it's like I already get sleep paralysis anyway sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I get horrible dreams, and I didn't have any nightmares last night, but I just woke up every hour.
Yeah.
Expecting to have a nightmare when I went back to bed.
Oh, gosh.
And so then I was like, yeah, it was really bad. But then part of a fucking fucked up part of me feels like, God, at least if I have disorderly sleep, that's at least something interesting going on at the moment. I'm Hold like, on. That is a bit of variety, you know?
What, to have a bad sleep?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not the variety you want.
Well, kind of.
No, I don't think so. I think sleep is like the most important thing in the world to how you feel. Don't fuck with your sleep. Get variety somewhere else. Like, I don't know, like fucking get into kickboxing.
I don't get into kickboxing.
Why not? Give it a go.
I feel so like low on in like on motivation, probably the lowest I've ever found my entire life
for motivation.
Yeah,
that's anything. Interesting. Do you think you're depressed?
Well, yeah, definitely. No shit.
It's so weird to me. Yeah, sorry. Go on.
No, because usually I'm like, I don't know. It's really hard to. I was describing it to my friend. Well, it's hard to. Well, actually, I was talking to our mutual friend, Toby, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that, he was saying, you know, it's kind of, it must be the first time in like 10 years where I'm not actively like, for an amount of time, I'm not thinking or actively working on something in a writing capacity.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, and I was like, maybe it is. Cause it's like, I don't know.
But you are like, kind of, I mean, we are supposed to be writing a show. I mean, that like lingers.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. But yeah. But yeah.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that? No, you don't want me to bring it up? Am I about to find out I'm fired?
We'll take that offline. I think I was describing to my friend the other day of like, it's really hard to, I think there are two, like when you're a writer or whatever, or you make stuff like, that's the most wanky thing I've ever said. But when some writers are like, can go inside themselves to create a world or something. Mm-hmm. And then definitely when you maybe perform as well, you have to like fucking experience the outside world and see other people. And then you take things from an outside world and then kind of interpret that. And then turn it into something else. And I mean, I guess both things do that to a degree, but I always, it makes me feel like there's nothing to bounce light off to make color at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a requirement. That's what makes anything. And it's like, it feels like you're in a vacuum where like you can't, it's impossible to get output out of such a lack of input.
Well, it's like, who is it who used to talk about stand-up, about, like, you can't just relentlessly be doing comedy because then you have nothing to generate ideas from. Like, you have to live a life. And it's kind of the same in this. Like, it's hard to create comedy when you're relentlessly doing nothing. So it's like, what do you have to comment on or to notice, or, like, what breaks up your day that, like, sparks your brain or whatever, you know? Like, all of that shit becomes a lot harder.
Also, especially if you do, like, but, like, your comedy's rooted in, like, observations or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think all comedy is,
I mean, in a way. Fortunately, but, like, my it's comedy like everyone, is rooted just in observations everyone's about me.
A lot of people's experiences, just, you know, there's a lot of people having different experiences, but we are all currently experiencing the results of the same thing.
Yeah.
And that makes it so boring. To create, you know, like, everyone's take on shit is so boring. Like, content is so boring. This podcast is so boring. Hence why we'll be the last.
No, we're not cancelling it today.
Yeah.
Not today.
I don't know. I feel a bit, I think my normal anxiety has been replaced with sort of,
existential angst.
No, I don't think I have existential angst anymore. Like, I think that's the one thing, the existential anxiety is gone.
Yeah, right.
It's more like feel like you're in a, you know, Groundhog Day, I guess. I don't know. What is there to live for?
There's so much to live for. I'm so surprised by... I've had, obviously, everyone has moments, I think, where you, if you look too far into the future or you see it stretch too far out in front of you, you get, you know, you feel depressed or you feel nervous or you feel anxious or, like, any one of those things. And I've had low moments like that. But overall, I'm surprised by how optimistic I feel about the outcome of this virus.
Well, honestly, both positions, like, there is nothing, we've said, if I ever listen to old episodes of this, we were talking about, like, you know, there's kind of, like, unless it's foolishness and it leads you to to harm, optimism is kind of free and doesn't cost you anything and kind of results in, like, a more positive outlook, which just day to day improves your life.
Yeah,
I
think that's true.
Even if you're wrong.
The danger of optimism, right, is that you get to be optimistic because of the position you're in, and you don't fully appreciate, like, the shitty position other people are in, or it makes you complacent. Yeah, you're unrealistic, or you're complacent, or whatever. But I wonder if I'm secretly an optimistic person.
You are definitely an optimistic person.
But a cynic, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Wow, but you're going to write that on your locker.
Oh my God, I've never been more embarrassed.
I'm sorry. I'm a real bitch.
It's so important. It's so important that you do that to me.
At a time like this, we have to take each other to task.
It's so important.
So funny. But I love it, though. Rock on. I love it.
Oh my God. I just want to crawl into a hole and die.
It's good. It's a good thing. I've essentially just been like, I literally said the phrase, what is there to live for? Like, I'm no better.
Yeah.
I'm a pessimist. I'm an ambitious pessimist.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an optimistic cynic. Oh my God. This podcast is over. It's ending. I just can't carry on with the conversation.
Fucking rock on.
Oh my god. I feel sick in my tummy.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, I think that's enough time for today.
Bring, bring.
No.
Bring, bring.
Oh my God.
I think you better answer that.
Okay.
Bring, bring.
Hello. Hi. You're on the line with Alice.
Hey. Hey. Sorry. I just, Alice?
Yeah. Hi. Who's this?
Hey. It's Dylan.
Dylan?
I don't know if you know me. I'm in sixth form. we're in science together. This is crazy. Like, I know that, you know, you're probably busy and stuff. Is your locker in the tech block? Is that your locker in the tech block that,
yeah, which one?
Yeah,
which
it's
one
the
are you
one
talking
with,
about?
I think it's the one with, like, engraved on it. With a compass. It says, I don't know, this is crazy. Like, I just thought, like, I saw it and I was like, is that Alice? Because she's kind of got this, like, rock and roll attitude, like, in science. But... Wow. I really wish I knew what Dylan was going to say. I think you knew him from school, maybe?
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed. Fuck, I get picked on a lot. But I think I love it.
You are the person... Sorry, I'm laughing privately to that. Because, like, you are the person who gets picked on a lot.
Yeah.
But you are also the person who complains about getting picked on a lot. Like, I've never heard anyone, like, I actually haven't heard any adults complain about getting picked on. So I don't know what came first. I think you perpetuate getting picked on by complaining about it. And people
God.
Oh, yeah, we can pick on Alice. That's a good point.
I think it's because I have an alpha energy, so I'm an easy target. No one ever feels bad about it.
Sure. And, you know, you can believe whatever you like.
I stand by that. And that's why I remind people that it happens to me a lot, because I think, you know, there's only so much one person can take.
Oh, God. You have gone off the deep end, girl.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in. Remember to send your emails to bottlesoftheheart@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to address some of those tomorrow on the pod.
Yeah, we will do that. Have a great day. Bye.
See you later.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.